mad at me, you can see me afterwards. All right. Genesis chapter number 12. And just to kind of lighten the mood, hopefully, I've got a few things that I found that you'll probably not hear dads say. I could be wrong on this too, but you probably won't hear dads say this. Well, how about that? I'm lost. Looks like we need to stop and ask for directions. You'll probably not hear a dad say, I noticed that all of your friends have a certain hostile attitude. I like that. You'll probably not hear a dad say, here's a credit card and the keys to my new car. Go crazy. You'll probably not hear a dad say, what do you mean you want to play football? Figure skating's not good enough for you, son? Another one, your mother and I are going away for the weekend. You might want to consider throwing a party. And the last one, what do you want to go and get a job for? I make plenty of money for you to spend. You probably won't hear dad say that. Well, I am sure that you have heard dad say other things that are wonderful and some kind of scary at the same time. But I'm so thankful for all of the fathers here, and not just my dad, who I'm very thankful for, but I'm thankful for other dads in this building that have even had an impact in my life. But as we go into Genesis chapter number 12 today, as I try to get the nerves of giving away those things out of my system, we're going to talk about a dad, but a dad of a different sort. Obviously, you know about Father Abraham. And we sang that song as kids in Sunday school. You know, Father Abraham had many sons. And you know, the one that doesn't really have any spiritual impact at all. It's just basically getting the kids to move around and getting the energy out of the system. Well, you know, Father Abraham, I believe, basically from this story in Genesis chapter number 12, we can learn a lot of lessons from. I believe that not just for the fathers here this morning, but also for all of the Christians. And so this morning I want to preach a message entitled, A Father's Calling. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he had departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land of the place of Sichem unto the valley, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now I want to pay a special attention towards the first verse. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. It's a special thing when God calls a man. But I believe, more importantly, it's a special thing to be a man who God has called and put specific tasks in your life. I believe that every father here, and I believe that even every Christian here, has specific tasks that God has for your life. A father's calling. Let's have a word of prayer this morning as we begin. Dear God, just thank you so much for everything you've done for us, Lord, and I pray that this would be a blessing. I pray that this would be an encouragement. God, I pray that you would give me power as I preach this morning. God, I pray that you would fill this message with points that are needed in maybe one person's life, a father's life, a Christian's life. God, I pray as there might be someone in here that is unsaved, unsure of their destination as far as when they die. God, I pray that they would get that settled today. God, I pray that they'd find a sweet relationship with your son today. God bless us as we look at your word and try to find some applicable points this morning. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. What I find interesting about this passage is kind of the all of a sudden type idea. I mean, can you imagine Abram, 75 years old, and obviously we have some dads that are older than 75 today, and we are so grateful for everyone that is in church this morning. But when you think of Abram as a 75-year-old man and going about his business, and the Lord also talks about in Joshua how his father was an idolatrous man. He was a man that worshiped idols. And so Abraham probably, more than likely, was probably an idol worshiper as well until this day, where God appears to him and says, now, Abram, I want you to get up and go. Abram, I want you to get out of your country. I've got a special place for you. I've got a special task for you. And what's interesting is even the calling of Abraham. And when you look at Abraham's calling, you see, just with me, if you just kind of take a second to think, this was out of nowhere. This man had a life. This man obviously was one who had many different servants and men that helped him with his tasks and work. And when you read about Abraham, it wasn't like this guy was a poor guy. More than likely, Abraham was pretty wealthy. He was a man that had a little bit of money, so to speak. And so when you look at Abraham, this guy was already kind of planted into his life, but here comes God, as so often God does, and calls him out of that life, and he calls him out of the situation that he's in. And when you think about this calling, and you think about even Abram just thinking to himself, like, who are you? Why are you calling me? God, what do you have for me? But I just want to also take a look at not just Abraham's calling, but the author of his calling. The Bible says, now the Lord said unto Abram. Now all of us in here today have a specific calling. Now our calling is not necessarily like Abram's, where God says, I want you to get up and go. But I'm not necessarily saying that you might not have that calling, or you might have that calling. God might even be calling you, no matter where you are, into life, into a specific place of ministry. And today, maybe God is even laying on your heart this Father's Day, you know what, I've got a task that God wants me to do. Maybe just like Victor Carpio came over a couple weeks ago and he talked about the Philippines. Maybe you saw even in the pictures the people in the Philippines and got a burden for those people and thought to myself, you know what, I feel like God is calling me to a different nation, a different country, to be a missionary. It won't be the first time someone's been called out of their occupation to go and do what God has asked. But sometimes God calls in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of life. And Abraham received this call, and I want you to just also not just see the author of the call, but the agreement of the call as well. Verse number 2 says, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And here's where Abraham basically finds out that, man, I'm going to be a father of a nation. Do you remember the day, dads, that you found out that you were going to be a dad? I remember the day, I don't necessarily remember specifics about the day that I found out that we were going to have Evelyn, but I remember the day that we found out that she was going to be a girl. And as a dad, I got to be perfectly honest with you, I wanted a girl. And I know that might sound weird to you, but I was looking forward to having a girl. You know, I talked to other guys, and they had all told me, you know, you could have a boy, and boys are great, but I can tell you what, girls are awesome. And so I really wanted to have a girl. And so I remember my wife and I were eating at IHOP, actually, and my wife received a phone call from the doctor, and basically the phone call was confirming the sex of Evelyn, and I remember my wife wanted to surprise me in some way, and just, you know, put the phone down, was like, it's a girl, you know. So what she did was she actually, we went to that place, I forget what the actual spot is, but it's where Kohl's is. You know Kohl's, and then there's Modell's over there. So she went into Kohl's, and I'm sitting in the car thinking, like, what, you know, what is she doing? And she took a bag, and she put girls' clothes in a bag, and she took kind of like a gender-neutral type bag, and she gave me the bag. We got to a park area, and she gave me the bag, and I looked in, and I saw that we were having a girl, you know? And it was so exciting. It was so thrilling to know that, man, I'm going to be responsible for this little human life. And man, it's been such a joy to be a dad. Even the other day, I was just thinking about the most pleasant memories right now outside of memories of me and my wife are me and my daughter. I think about the fact that every single morning she comes into, she runs into our bedroom. I see these little hands because I'm waking up, and I see these little hands grab hold of the bed, and I see little eyes come up like that. And she pulls herself up, and Laura's already up because my daughter decides to wake up at the crack of dawn every day. But Laura's already up with her, and she pulls herself up onto the bed, and she goes, "Hi, Daddy." I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorite memories. I think not just that, but she pulls herself fully onto the bed. She goes, "Hi, Daddy." And then she turns towards the TV in her room. She goes, "Show. Show." All right. Good to see you too, kid. But we put on this little kid show for her, and she has a good time with that. The other day we were at Berkeley Island Park. I guess it's reopened, and it's a beautiful park, by the way. And we were there, and she would rather, instead of going to the splash pad where all the kids are, she would rather be in the bay. Some of you saw my video on Facebook, and she started to build this vocabulary now, and I'm starting to teach her words like, "Oh, yeah," and you know, things like that. And so she's sitting there in the bay, and the waves are hitting her legs, and she goes, "Oh, yeah." And, oh, man, it was great. It's great. I'll remember that. But for Abraham, it might have been a little bit different. Abraham didn't just find out that he was going to be a father, but a father of a nation. Can you imagine the calling that was on his shoulders? But God put an agreement on this call. And God says, "Listen, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing, and I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And we know that portion of the promise is talking about Jesus Christ, how Jesus would eventually come through the line of Abraham, and all the families of the earth, no matter who you are, no matter what race you are, will be blessed by Jesus Christ. And that was the agreement of the call. And it wasn't a necessity that was placed on Abraham. There was nothing placed on Abraham's shoulder. This is all placed on God. It says in Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." If you actually look at Genesis chapter number 15, verses 7 through 21, I'm going to kind of describe the scenario for you. When God calls out Abraham, God makes a covenant with him. And the way to signify this covenant was God had told him to take an animal and split that animal in half and separate the pieces of the animal, one on one side and one on the other. It's kind of a crazy portion of scripture. If you've ever read it and not understood it, well, here's your chance to understand a little bit. In Genesis chapter number 15, verse 7 through 21, basically you'll find that Abram is sitting with this animal that is actually dead and split apart. And I know it's kind of gross and but when you look at the passage, you'll find that birds come around and they're trying to eat of the carcass of the animal. And so Abram's literally waving these birds off and trying to get them to shoo away. But eventually Abram gets tired. And so Abram literally falls asleep. God literally puts him to sleep. And in his sleep, he has this vision. And basically what happens is this lantern comes through, and this lantern passes through the midst of the split pieces. And it's kind of an interesting scenario. And then basically God confirms his promise with Abram. And you're like, I don't even know what just happened there. Kind of gross. But what just happened was an Old Testament covenant. Now, some of you might have heard of someone making a covenant by grabbing the thigh of another person, and that's how they made a covenant. But also, between kings of different nations, they made a peace covenant by taking an animal and parting it in half, spreading the pieces apart, and the two would walk hand in hand through the middle of the pieces. But what God did here was, he said, listen, Abraham, this promise isn't on you. You're not going through the middle of this. I am. Why? Because this promise isn't on you, it's on me. The blessings are on me. The curses to those who curse you, that's on me. The promise of the blessing to the rest of the nations, that's on me. It's all on me, Abram. You're not going to have to worry about it. You just go where I say go. You do what I say to do, and you'll be fine. But the promise is on me. I'll take care of that. And you know, I'm so glad today, and just kind of a sidetrack for just a second, that God takes promises on himself. It's not up to us to fulfill a part of a promise. In other words, what I'm talking about today is salvation. I'm so glad that it wasn't up to us to pay for our sins, because I can tell you right now we couldn't. That's why there's a place called hell, because that is where sin takes us when we die. And I'm so glad that Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood for the remissions of sins. Jesus Christ took that on himself. It wasn't up to us. And you know, even salvation is so beautiful that we just place our faith in him. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we do. It's about what he did for us on the cross. And it's a beautiful picture that we see here of Abraham. He's called out, but the agreement of the call and basically the benefits of the call would come from God alone. It wasn't on Abraham's shoulders. You see the calling of Abraham. The author of the call was God Almighty, and the agreement of the call, it was that he was going to bless him. But I also see the commitment of Abraham. And now I'm going to tell you just right off the bat, most of my message today is introductory. And I'm going to give you a few practical points at the end. But when it comes to Genesis chapter number 12, we see the commitment of Abraham. What's really interesting is in verse number 1, you say, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. In verse number 4, it's like, okay. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. No questions asked. Not God, I'm 75. God, I've got a family here. God, I've got things going on here. God, no questions asked. If God said, here's what I want you to do, Abraham said, all right, I'll do it. He left what was comfortable. God said, get out of the country. It was what Abram knew. It was the place that he knew. It was the place that he was comfortable in. But he also left what was convenient. God said, I don't just want you to get out of your country, but I want you to get away from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I think possibly, and this is just extra, that God wanted him to get out of his father's house because, like I said, you'll find in, I believe it's Joshua chapter number 24, that the Bible calls his father an idol worshiper. Possibly why he wanted him to get out of his father's house. So what can we learn from this passage? What can we as fathers and as Christians learn from this specific passage today? I want to give you some practical points, some practical tips. And I know I'm only 26 years old, and some of you might be saying, you know, I've been a dad for a long time. I don't need to take tips from you. Well, today, when it comes right down to it, I hope that you'll see these practical points from Scripture itself. Today, I want you to see, first of all, and that's my first point, listen for the voice of God. Listen for the voice of God. What's really interesting is when you look at Abram, more than likely he was an idol worshiper, and so God coming to speak to him, man, it's just kind of this crazy thing. The other day, and I say the other day, it was probably about 4 months ago, but the other day, I sincerely think that about Pastor. Sometimes he says the other day, but it's probably like 7 years ago. But don't tell him I said that. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. And he'll tell me that. We'll be riding down. And he goes, you know, I say the other day, but it's really 5 or 6 years ago that it happened. And then he'll chuckle and continue with the story. I love Pastor Weigel. I miss him, by the way. The other day, we were watching Evelyn through the monitor. She was doing something in her room. And she was in her bed, and again, this was about 4 or 5 months ago, I should say, and she was a little bit younger than she is now. And we were doing something, and I think we were checking to see if she was okay. I can't remember the situation exactly, but I think she was crying a little bit, you know, kind of, and it was just a weird thing. And it ended up being that she was a little bit sick. And our monitor is one of those where you could actually speak into the monitor and the kid will hear on the other end. And we hadn't really used that feature too many times. And this might be the first time that she really kind of grasped what was going on. And so I grabbed the monitor and I said, "Evelyn, it's going to be okay, honey. Go back to sleep. You know, take a nap." And she stopped what she was doing. And she looked all around the room and she went. And she started crying. And it scared her. She had no idea what she was hearing. And in fact, we think that she thought that there was another man in the house. And that's what she was hearing. And so she got really scared. And so for literally a month or two after that, anytime that she saw her monitor, she would not go in the room. And anytime that she saw that little thing, she'd not go in there. And I was just thinking about this story, and eventually Laura and I found hiding places for the monitor so as to keep her from seeing where it was. But, you know, I thought about the fact that many of us claim to be saved, claim to understand the Bible, claim to, you know, be Christians, but we really don't know how to listen for the voice of God. And here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God is going to come audibly and say, "Abraham, get out of thy country," or, you know, "Jim Kennedy, get out of your country," okay? You know, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is some of us have closed our ears off even to the speaking of God through his word, through his messengers, and through his spirit. The word of God speaks, and God speaks to us in many different ways. And you know what's really interesting is I believe, just like Evelyn, sometimes we kind of do this. Because maybe our life is too busy, or maybe our life is filled with things really that are keeping us and keeping our hearts blocked off from hearing the word of God. And if we were to hear God's voice audibly, I wonder if we'd even know it was him. You know, I was reading through the book of, I think it's Malachi, where it talks about God, and God is a father. And God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor? Where's my honor? The children of Israel during that time were going through a phase that I really consider to be much like America today, where there was a lot of, I think the word is religiosity, but there was no real relationship. There was a lot of people going through the motions, but there was no relationship. There was no listening for the word of God and listening for the voice of God and trying to hear what God really wants for his life. And so here's Abraham, this man who is most likely an idol worshiper, and he hears this voice from God, and he says, "Get out of your country." And Abraham commits to it and says, "Listen, if you're calling me out, I'm just going to trust in you." But we as Christians today, we have the word of God, but how many times do we open it up and say, "God, speak to me. God, get to know me today as I get to know you. God, tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. God, I need to hear from you today." Dads, we so desperately need to hear from God. Dads, as leaders in the home, we so desperately need to listen for direction. Joshua chapter number 24, when he comes to the people and he tells the people, "Listen, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." He tells the people, "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." Then the people responded, and the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." But dads, what if we made that same commitment today? To listen to the voice of God as if God was calling us out, just like Abraham, and say, "You know what, God, I'll listen for your direction." Just like Abram did in the Old Testament, "I'll listen to see where you want me to go. But I'll also listen for discernment in what you want me to do." Proverbs 2, verse number 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Months back, I was talking to you about this word, incline your ear unto wisdom. And if you'll remember with me the illustration that I gave, while I was out hunting, I realized something quickly, that deer have good ears. They have really good ears. And what you'll notice about deer is that they can move their ears around. And basically, this passage is basically saying to prick up your ears. In other words, listen for my voice. Listen for wisdom. And what deer do sometimes is they'll walk around through the woods, and if their ears are hanging low, that means they're not really listening. You'll see a lot of young deer do that. But a lot of the older, more mature deer, you'll find that even when they put their head down, their ears prick up. Why? Because they're listening for danger. They're listening for something that might harm them. They're listening to get a grasp on what they should do next. What if Christians and dads did the same? What if we listened for the voice of God? What if we listened to God's word? What if we just so desperately needed the word of God in our lives that, man, we had to have it. What if we so desperately needed the word of God that every single time the church doors were open, we were the first ones in? Why? Because this is the place where God speaks. Which is the reason why, dads, have your kids in church. Because this is the place where God speaks. It's the reason why, dads, have your families in church. Because this is the place where God speaks. Now, I'm not saying that God can't speak at home. I'm not saying that God can't speak to you guys through your family altar time, whatever you call it. But what I am saying is this is the specific body of Jesus Christ for you, the local body, and this is where God moves. You need to be here. You need to be here. Because we're not here. It tells me that you're probably not surrender completely to listening for the voice of God. Now, what's really interesting is that a lot of people spend their life trying to be enough. Carrie Schmidt said, you'll spend your life either trying to be enough or trusting that Jesus is enough. And I want to say the same about God's word. You'll spend your life listening to all different voices, trying to find which voice is right. But isn't Jesus' voice, isn't the word of God enough? Dad, in your answers to your kids, is it that the Bible is an answer, or is it that the Bible is the answer? Is it that worshiping God is something we do, or is it worshiping God is a life that we live? Listen for the voice of God. Number two, fulfill the God-given responsibilities in your life. If you'll take your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 18. This is probably the hardest thing for dads, I think. Proverbs 19, 18. Most of you might know this verse. But one of the God-given responsibilities is providing correction. Providing correction. Proverbs 19, 18 says the following. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Chasten thy son. You know, someone was talking to me about the difference between the word discipline and chasten. And I thought it was really interesting. They were saying chastening is meant for profit. And I thought that's very interesting. They said chastening is meant for profit. Discipline is meant for just kind of punishment. Chastening is what you do to correct something, to make profit out of it. Chastening is taking your child who had done wrong, correcting the issue, but correcting it in such a way that you make profit out of that moment. Dads, moms, as we look at our kids, are we just disciplining for discipline's sake? Or dads, have you fulfilled your God-given responsibility of chastening your kids? I'm not talking about just discipline for them doing wrong, but making profit out of that situation. In other words, making profit in their life, taking it and saying, listen, this isn't just to punish you, but this is to build you. Why? Because this is the same way that God deals with us. Remember in Hebrews that he chastens his children? That he takes a situation in life, maybe something that we are doing that is not pleasing to him, and he brings us to a point of profit for him. You know, what's really interesting is you'll find in Genesis chapter number 12 that Abram, he took care of his responsibilities. In verse number 4, it says, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. It wasn't just that this guy got up and left, leaving his responsibilities behind, but he took his responsibilities with him. He took care of the things that needed to be taken care of. Dads, the first responsibility is providing correction. But if you'll stay in Proverbs and look at chapter 22, verse number 6, but we're supposed to provide direction. Chapter 22, verse number 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Start when they're young. Some of you have young kids in the house. Start when they're young. Maybe there's some in here that are saying, Pastor Nick, you know, I'm really past this stage of my life. Pastor, I don't understand how to apply this to my life. Many of you have grandkids. Many of you have grandchildren. Maybe it's time to start training even your grandkids through the time that you have with them and the way they should go. I truly believe that even as grandparents, you're supposed to be training. And if you say, well, I don't have kids, I don't have grandkids, well, there are plenty of kids here in the church that you can help train. There are plenty of kids here in the church that you can be a blessing to. There are plenty of kids here that come on a bus that don't have any father at home. I sat in a house 3 weeks ago. And I sat in a house where basically the child was being raised by his uncle and his aunt. The dad's really not part of the situation. And I thought, I'm so glad that we have the opportunity in church to take maybe not the responsibility of the father, but take the responsibility of training up a child. Are you part of helping in that scenario? Are you part of fulfilling that responsibility of helping these kids come to know Jesus Christ? I truly believe, as even we look at Genesis chapter number 22, and you don't have to turn there, but Genesis chapter number 22, very familiar passage. Do you remember where Abraham takes Isaac, and God says, I want you to, and God is tempting Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to lay him for a sacrifice. And even in that moment, Abraham is teaching his son about God's provision, because when Isaac asks, okay, I see the wood and I see everything to make a sacrifice, but God, Dad, where's the lamb? What's Abraham's response? God will provide a lamb, right? God will provide the sacrifice. And even in that moment, you see, Abraham was one who fulfilled his responsibility of providing direction for his son, who was a little bit confused at the time. And I'm sure Abraham, who was confused at the time, guys, just because you don't always know what's right and just because you don't always kind of know what to do doesn't mean you can't provide direction in the things that you do know. Abraham didn't know what was going on there. He was asked to sacrifice his own son. But what did he know? That God can provide. Dads, moms, provide direction for your kids. They desperately, desperately need it. But the other thing that I want to notice is in Colossians chapter number 3. It's a provision of love. Provision of love. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 19. And this is one that I think we need to see more often of. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Then in verse number 21, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." I'm going to tell you, a husband that loves his wife supremely, outside of loving her more than God, I'm talking about loving his wife, is the greatest example of what a dad should be. A husband that says, "Mom comes first," outside of God, of course. A husband that says, "Mom comes first," is a great example. I see in my 26 years, it's not very long, right? But only in 26 years, I've seen marriages get messed up when the kids come first. There's a provision of love towards the wife. Guys, love your wives. Love your wives. I don't know how to say it outside of the way that Scripture did. Don't be bitter against them. Love your wives. What's interesting is that you'll find in a house where the husband truly loves the wife, the husband has a passion for the wife, that I believe the children aren't provoked. I truly believe it just comes in order. You really love your wife, you're also going to treat your kids right. I don't know how it works, but it works hand in hand. You love your wife, you'll treat your kids right. And you know, when I look at this Bible verse, the Bible doesn't necessarily say husbands or fathers love your children, because I believe it's given. I believe it's given. Because the greatest form of love we were ever given was from who? The Father, who sacrificed his Son for us. It's a given. Dads, you're supposed to be like God in the situation. In the family, you are the picture of God. You are. You're the Father. You are the picture of the one who loved us and gave his Son for us. You are the picture of the epitome of love. So provide it. Provide it for your wives. Provide it for your kids. Fulfill your God-given responsibilities. But the last point, and probably one of the most important points, is lead in the worship of God. Now, if I can go back to Genesis 12, lead in the worship of God. We're talking about Abraham here, and please keep in mind that this was a man that more than likely, this might have been the first time that he had ever done this. Verse number 6, it says, "And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." His natural reaction was to worship. His natural reaction was to worship the God who had called him. Today I hope that your every single day activity is to worship God personally. Do your kids know that you worship God personally? Does your wife know that you worship God personally? Do they know that dad has a close relationship with God? Dad is, man, you know what? He's not perfect, but he loves the Lord and he worships him daily. Man, dad makes some mistakes at times, but I know that he's real with God. Oh, husbands, have a personal worship time with God. Have a time where you can get away from everything. And I truly mean this, get away from everything. Have a time, and you know, it's really interesting. Mrs. Cramper was speaking one time, and I don't know if it was the ladies' brunch. And I was just kind of serving or whatever, and I thought this was great. And I got this from obviously, you know, Mrs. Crampert, and she said, "One thing that my kids knew was from this time to this time in the morning, they couldn't reach me because I was spending time with God." I thought, that's awesome. Now, obviously, as little kids, you got to watch out for them and take care of them. But once they kind of got to that age where, you know, she could get alone and get away, they knew that they couldn't reach mom because she was personally worshiping God. Dads, what if our kids knew that from time A to time B, it was your time with God? That was your time that you spend with him. I can tell you that'll make a difference in their life. Because worship of God personally leads to worship of God corporately. I have this quote from John Quincy Adams, and he said, so great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through my Bible once a year. I wonder if you'll take the time to worship God corporately. Take a look at verse number 8. And he says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. So I want you to understand, this is where he pitched his tent. This is where his family dwelt, okay? This is where his wife was. This is where his servants were. This is where everyone was. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel in the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. In the place where he pitched his tent, in the place where he made his residence, that's the place where he decided, I'm going to build an altar here. Why? Because this is the place where we will worship our God. What if in every single home, there was a time of worshiping God? What if in every single home that is represented in this building, there was a time corporately of worshiping God? And I'm not just talking about someone just reading through dry reading through verses and then shutting the Bible and saying, all right, we're out. I'm talking about literally worshiping God, singing to God together. Praising God for things that he had done. Making prayer requests that are real. No, I'm not talking about opening up situations to your kids that are, you know, need to know for you and your wife. But I'm talking about being real with your kids. I'm talking about praying for real things with your kids. I'm talking about saying, God, we need this. We absolutely need this. And watching as God does something wonderful, and your kids get the opportunity to watch as God does something wonderful. I wonder if you don't have any kids here and it's just you and your wife, if you and your wife have a time of corporate worship. Saying, you know what? I know we go to church on Sunday and I know we go to church on Wednesday, but the life that we live isn't just a Sunday and Wednesday kind of Christianity. It's a all-time Christianity, and we need to have a time of worship together. So every single Friday, every single Thursday, every single Saturday, whatever day you might choose, maybe it's 2 days, hey, we're going to get together and we're going to worship God tonight. We're going to get together and we're going to pray about things that need to be prayed about. And we're going to sing about things that have been wonderful in our lives. And we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus that saved us from our sins. And we're going to talk about the many blessings that God has given us throughout the years. And we're going to talk about how God's word provides answers for everyday needs. And we're going to give God the praise he deserves every single time we gather. This is a message for me. This is a message that touched my heart. These are things that I looked at as I did self-evaluation. And I said, Nick, this is your calling as a father. And there are things that I checked off and said, you know what, we're doing pretty good in that area. But there are things in this message that I crossed and I circled and said, Nick, it's time to work on this. It's time to shore this up. This isn't just a message for you as fathers or for Christians, but it's a message for me. Because we have a calling. Christians, you have a calling. You have a calling just not to be here on Sundays and Wednesdays, but to live your life like Jesus Christ. I hope that these practical tips and points from this passage have been a blessing. Maybe it's the personal worship time. Maybe it's the listening for the voice of God. But whatever it is, I hope that no matter when God calls, that we be able to and willing to respond like Abram. Saying, God, I'll go. God, I'll do. God, I'll worship. Today, what is God calling you to do? Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the calling that we have as Christians and for dads, the responsibilities that we have. Dear Jesus, I just pray as we come to this altar time, this time of invitation, that, Lord, you would put something on our hearts, Lord, that maybe needs to get settled. Maybe families need to come to the altar and just pray together, not to take care of sin problems, but just to pray as a family, just to talk to you. Oh, God, I pray as we finish out this service, Lord, that you'd touch our hearts throughout the week, not just this morning, but move through us this week to further fulfill our calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand as we sing Near.